Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
You're devaluing the word great if you follow with Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, the NBA All-Star Game is coming up next month, and the starters are going to be announced later on this evening. All-Star Game in Cleveland this year. Wolf, I'm not holding my breath for a son to be announced in the starters. Because remember, the starters, that's based on the fan vote. So it doesn't have to be anybody that's even any good.
No, you're right about that. I'm with you on that one. Although I will say this. Cleveland rocks. And we all know that. Just wouldn't want to live there. Does that make sense?
That's fair.
It rocks, and it's very cool. And I don't even mind how gray and brown and muddy it might be from time to time, but it rocks.
Was that where you posted the picture this season when the Cardinals were in Cleveland, where the sky was like, is that even gray?
That's
it's like
right.
charcoal
Did you
color.
See that? It was unbelievable. There was literally a cloud that was hanging right over. You could see out over the lake, and on the horizon, it was nice and shiny. Outside of Cleveland.
Yes.
But over Cleveland, there was that. Yes, I posted that. You know what? I ought to tweet that out.
You should. The motion you just made, is that how you tweet? Is that
you start moving your thumb.
like game film or something.
Forget it. My thumbs, too, are like tennis rackets. You know, just brutal. So clumsy.
Well, then tweet it out. It'll be a lot of fun to see what you accidentally type out.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the NBA All-Star starters.
I see.
Yeah, that just happens to be in Cleveland. So you got derailed towards your love of Cleveland from afar.
Yes.
I'm assuming, just based on the counts, the last count we saw over the weekend, Booker was fifth among Western Conference guards. Chris Paul was seventh. I'm also going to go ahead and I'm not going to assume, but both of those guys are going to be there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's your starting back. It's your best backcourt in the league on the best team in the league. Why would they not both be there?
Yeah, they're not going to be starting.
Yeah.
Because the fan is going to vote for the starters out there. Man, talk about scratch your butt voting. That's exactly what it is.
We're going to get James Worthy into
this
the game.
This is Exhibit A, dare I say Exhibit Triple Z, as to why we shouldn't let fans vote for all-stars.
Well, the pushback is always, hey, it's who the fans want to see. No, we're going to just have the same big market teams represented every year, which I'm not going to get too bent out of shape if Devin Booker is not named a starter tonight. There are some really good guards in the Western Conference. I can talk myself into them deserving it, although he should be starting, and really, Chris Paul. But they both, if they're not both there, and that gets announced, I think it's like a week from now, who's actually, like, if they don't make the team or if only one of them makes the team.
Yes.
That's fairly ridiculous. Now, this is Monty Williams on the topic, and he said that's flat out laughable. Devin Booker isn't starting.
When he's in a groove like that, I think our team feeds off of it. And what he's done lately, you know, I just kind of laugh at the voting numbers when I see it at the bottom of the ticker. And so many guys are getting so many more votes than him. It's laughable. When you look at what he's done, not just of late, but all season long and the wins we have. You know, he should be a starter on the All-Star team. And tonight was one of those games where I think he proved that point.
It is nice.
Laughable. That's strong language for Monty Williams.
It is nice, though, the last game before the votes come out to just drop 43 and walk off the court.
Right, exactly. But still, I mean, honestly, listen to what he's saying. It's laughable. Is this a good thing for the NBA when their All-Star team, their All-Star game is laughable? Is that a good thing?
No.
I don't understand why the league doesn't do something about it, honestly. I don't understand. If you want to let fans vote, that's awesome. Let them vote. Go out there and make it a popularity contest. Just don't play a game around it.
Yeah, I mean, we can
let
just
them go vote.
We could just do the who's your favorite player vote. Go ahead and do that. Keep it separate from the All-Star game. And apparently everybody's favorite player, even though this always seems to be everybody's least favorite player, is LeBron James.
Yes.
He had the most votes.
Yes, okay.
The most. Okay, so yay, goody. We know everybody's favorite player is LeBron James. Now, can we, and LeBron, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be there, but can we now vote the actual players that should be there, and maybe Devin Booker should be there over Klay Thompson?
I would love to see that as well. I really would. I would love to see the NBA players and coaches vote for a team. NBA honors. Call it NBA honors, and that's what you play your game around. Like, keep the all-star vote. Oh, absolutely. Engage the fan. Who's your favorite player that is out there right now? Man, that is good stuff. And they'll sit there, and there'll be a website dedicated to it, and there'll be people that'll sit there and write about, man, the fans love this guy. And that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And now you can start selling merchandise to them, right? But, man, when you're talking about playing an all-star game, let your peers, and this is the mistake the NFL has made, and they should go back to it. Let the coaches and the players vote for Pro Bowl. Let them do it. Because more times than not, yes, there's going to be personal bias. There's no doubt about it. There always will be because of human beings that will sit there and say, he was mean. Don't vote for him. Well, excuse me, I'm playing a game where the object is to try to drive you into the ground and knock you on your butt. Sorry if I get a little intense for you. But that's what I think the NBA ought to do. Players and coaches, vote and make that the NBA honors team.
Well, the
and then play a game around it.
Based on the most recent voting, and this isn't the final stuff, but Steph Curry and Ja Morant will be the starting guards, which,
you know,
I'm
honestly,
fine. I understand. I don't hate that. But, I mean, when you look in the front court, okay, LeBron, okay, Jokic. Well, Jokic is having a monster year. Andrew Wiggins, because he's on Golden State. And Wiggins is having a fine year, too. But, like, Anthony Davis is fifth. Anthony Davis has missed almost half the season. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say DeAndre Ayton should be on the All-Star team. He's missed almost half the season.
Exactly right.
Klay Thompson being ahead of not just Devin Booker, but Chris Paul, Donovan Mitchell, like other guys that have been much better.
I love Klay Thompson. I absolutely love him. Did he deserve that this year? No.
Well, when he was,
it's nowhere even close.
When the first votes came out, he hadn't played in 2.5 years.
I'm just saying, it is. It's laughable.
That's
what Monty Williams said.
This is what Devin Booker had to say about it.
I mean, I appreciate it, but you know, I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm in a different phase of my career. You know, like Chris said, after another game, we're worried about getting coached in the All-Star game. You know, that's our main objective. So, you know, we're going to keep handling business and doing what we have to do and, you know, let the politics and the media popularity contest figure out itself.
Man, do I love that right there. I cannot even, it jacks me up to hear this young buck, this young gun, say what Devin Booker just said. Man, does that not feel you? That fills me with so much goodness, man, listening to Devin Booker, and joy that he's got that kind of strength that he would say what he just said about the All-Star game. He's past that. He's got bigger fish to fry. Interesting.
This is not, you know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when Devin Booker was having a really good season that was maybe all-star caliber, but it was sort of fringe when you start to look around the Western Conference and you realize, okay, there's a lot of really great players at his position. I mean, I remember Suns fans being bent out of shape that he didn't make it over Chris Paul, or it didn't look like he was going to make it over Chris Paul when Chris Paul wasn't on the Suns. This is not that anymore. We're talking about the two best players on the best team in the NBA, and standings-wise, it's not even close right now. And they didn't just come out of nowhere. They were in the NBA Finals last season. If those two guys aren't there, why would you even watch this? I mean, if you're a Suns fan, like if at this point you can't get Devin Booker and Chris Paul to the All-Star game, there is literally nothing more they could do. Sammy Hagar and George Thorogood are heading to Ak-Chin Pavilion for their Crazy Times Tour. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair now if you visit the contest page on arizonasports.com. And coming up next, an all-time NFL great is hanging up his cleats. Could another Pro Bowler also call it a career soon? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
We've gotten some clarity around the NFL today.
How so?
Got a couple head coaches hired. I like to feel like we got them hired by complaining that nobody was getting hired yesterday.
It was incredible. 9 jobs open. 9. And nobody was hired.
It's
now
still,
we've got 2.
Yeah. I mean, still 7. 7 openings. That's still a lot a couple weeks after the end of the season. There's no way all 7 guys that are going to get hired are still coaching in these playoffs. We also found out, though, Wolf, Big Ben officially retiring today. After 18 seasons in the National Football League, I think we all anticipated it was going to happen. Obviously, with the way the end of the season played out, it was being treated like sort of his farewell tour, that game against Kansas City. Not the way you necessarily want to go out, but yeah, so Big Ben retiring. I mean, that's a Hall of Famer for sure. Give him credit for winning a couple Super Bowls while playing that position in the AFC at the same time as Tom Brady in his prime.
It's amazing because when I think of Ben Roethlisberger, of course, based on who means, the very first thing I think of is Super Bowl 43. I don't know, you know, here in Phoenix, how you could think of anything else when you think of Ben Roethlisberger. 237, that's what I remember, based on who means, 237 on the clock, Luke. 237.
Yeah.
After Larry Fitzgerald.
They showed it earlier today on the TV.
Boom! There it is. 237, and I'll never forget during the not-so-beautiful part of the broadcast, Dave Pasch and I looked at each other and said, oh, man, that's too much time. 2 minutes and 37 seconds. Mm. That's the first thing I think of. The second thing I think of in regard to Big Ben is he should have never thrown the ball. To Santonio Holmes, you should have never thrown the ball, Ben.
Yeah, I wish he wouldn't
have. How did you, over 3, not 1. Not 2, but 3 Arizona Cardinals. And Santonio Holmes made one of the most incredible catches in the history of the game. Forget about the Super Bowl. In the history of the game, there's a lot of people out there who still believe his toes were not down. I don't know how you look at the evidence and say that. For me, that was a catch, touchdown. Super Bowl 43 belonged to the Steelers, unfortunately.
Well, I hate this. I will go back to that Larry Fitzgerald play, though, that you're talking about. When he catches it and he turns up the field, and I know you said you and Dave Pasch had the same reaction during the break of like, that's too much time. But when he caught it and turned up the field, that was the first time, Wolf, I ever remember thinking, oh, the Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl. Like, that was the first moment.
You allowed yourself to do it.
For one second.
You went there.
Yeah. Because all the way that run through that playoff is like, okay, this is fun. This is kind of unexpected. But they play Philadelphia in the conference championship. Felt pretty confident, actually, they would beat Philadelphia at that point based on what we had seen. I know the Cardinals' record wasn't great that year. That was the infamous Chris Collinsworth saying they're the worst playoff team ever or whatever. But they had a lot of talent on that team. But you go into it, and maybe this is just being a Valley sports fan. You're kind of like, all right, but we can actually win championship. Like, that seems a little crazy. Well, in football, you get there, it's one game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even with everything that happened with James Harrison in the first half and all of that, that play where Fitz catches it and turns up the field, and you're like, they're not catching him. They might do this. That was a great feeling, which, of course, was immediately destroyed by Big Ben. So in that case, I'm glad he retired.
Yes. Also, too, let me just say this, since we're speaking about the National Football League and we're doing it in generalities, Sean Payton is out there, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Payton is out there, and we all know that his plan is not to coach in 2022.
No.
As he said, we all know that is his plan, yet, man, by qualifying his situation the way that he did, it makes me think he is coaching this year.
So if he's coaching this year, there's a couple ways this could happen. He could get one of those jobs that are out there. They're already out there right now. He could push somebody out of a job that is already occupied. And in fact, a lot of people are looking at Dallas specifically. This is Tim Hasselbeck, though, saying he doesn't think Sean Payton wants to go to Dallas.
Sean Payton has accomplished enough and is going to draw enough interest if he ever does want to, you know, coach, that he's going to be the boss. Like, I don't think Sean Payton's going anywhere to go really work for somebody. I think he's going somewhere where he's got complete control and he isn't always answering to somebody. And that would be the case in Dallas. So I don't know that that's actually where he would want to end up.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does. At the same time, maybe he could tell Jarrah to shut it. Maybe he could just tell
him. I feel like many have tried.
I'm just telling you right now. You're not going to hire me and tell me what to do, Sean Payton could say. And I believe, yeah. So what, Jarrah? You could say whatever you want to say. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to.
And I think Jerry Jones would know if he's hiring Sean Payton, he's giving him the keys to the kingdom.
Can you imagine
he knows that.
How just that press conference. I'm just picturing that press conference of Jerry Jones presenting Sean Payton as the new Cowboys head coach.
It's a mess in New Orleans right now, and the story came out, and now we're starting to see why Sean Payton walked away from that job. The franchise is currently $74 million over the cap for 2022. That's $34 million more than the next closest team. Let that sit in for a minute. All right? Yeah. It's so ugly. It's so nasty.
Well, that's easy.
Right,
just cut everybody. Then you'll be fine.
Sean Payton obviously does not want to work with a young quarterback that might not pan out while rebuilding a team. That's such a daunting task in the salary cap era of the National Football League right now. So where could he possibly go? I think, again, Las Vegas, baby. Vegas, baby. I think that could be a possibility. Why? An established quarterback in Derek Carr, who, by the way, is very, very similar in personality to Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr and Drew Brees. And then all of a sudden, you've got $23 million in cap space as well. And you're already a playoff team. Yeah, the Raiders. That seems like an appealing job. And I think they'd pay some big money.
That would make a lot more sense. The Dallas thing, like, I get why on the surface it seems logical. Hey, he's got ties to the Cowboys. Hey, the Cowboys want their guy. But I do think there's a little bit of that Cowboys arrogance of like, okay, well, there's a great coach available. Okay, well, Dallas runs the league, right? So they can pick if they want him, and then it almost like a waiver claim, and then it'll just go down beyond that. Like, Dallas hasn't won the Super Bowl in almost 30 years.
Mm.
And to Tim Hasselbeck's point, Sean Payton can pretty much pick where he goes. So if he wanted to go to Dallas, yeah, I think he could go, but the Raiders' job, especially the way you're describing it, that makes a lot more sense, although I'm not sure I want to be in that division. But if I'm Sean Payton, I'm probably not thinking that way.
Right.
I think the bigger thing would be, do I have a quarterback? You could see him on the sideline this year in New Orleans where they had a decent team and they beat Tampa twice, but one of the times they had to beat them 9-0 because they didn't have a quarterback. And you could see a guy that has coached Drew Brees basically his entire career just almost developing an ulcer on the sidelines. Like, okay, wait, who is it? Jameis Winston? Now it's Taysom Hill. Now it's Trevor Siemian. Like, yeah, I'm guessing if Sean Payton coaches this year or next year, he's going to be able to pick where he goes, and that place is going to have a quarterback.
Well, just remember, his plan is not to coach in 2022.
Oh, yeah, okay, I forgot about that. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, the Cardinals have quite a few high-profile players set to be free agents this offseason. So not just which ones should they bring back, but potentially how much would they cost? One website has some values next to these names, and some seem pretty high, but one feels like a steal. That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona's Sports Station. Flat top, slicked back. Wolf and Luke.
You see the Cardinals tweeting out their 2021 awards, Wolf?
I did not see the tweet, no.
Okay, here we go. I've got Most Valuable Cardinal.
Okay.
Kyler Murray.
There you go.
Offensive Player of the Year, James Conner.
James Conner, I would agree.
Defensive Player of the Year, Budda Baker. Newcomer of the Year, James Conner. And Beyond the Box Score Player of the Year, Rodney Hudson.
There you go. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, that sounds good right there, doesn't it?
They got a picture of Hudson holding the ball like he's about to throw it, too.
Just snap it, Rodney. That's okay. That is enough right there.
So those are the Cardinals awards internally for 2021. Now, Pro Football Focus put out projected annual values for all the free agents. And for the Cardinals, Kyle Odegaard tweeted this out yesterday. He just tweeted out like the seven main, I think the biggest names everybody's looking at. So it's Chandler Jones, Christian Kirk, Zach Ertz, James Conner, Max Williams, Chase Edmonds, Robert Alford.
Yes.
So these are their projected, like, this is, you know, these are not hard numbers, obviously, but this, based on their analysis, is roughly what they think these guys are going to be able to get on the open market. Okay. Mm. So how about you give me, I'm not even going to let you give me a name. I'm just going to pick it. We're going to start with, Zach Ertz this time. We didn't talk about
Zach
him earlier.
Ertz. All right.
Yeah. He is projected for $11 million this year. $11 million.
Man, I'll tell you what, Zach Ertz, I was all for the pickup, of course, mid-season. I thought Steve Keim did an excellent job right there replacing Max Williams. There was a void suddenly at the tight end position. I just think going forward that Zach Ertz is more of a wide receiver, if you will, than a tight end. And I'm not trying to attack him in any way, shape, or form because I absolutely love and respect Zach Ertz. I think the Arizona Cardinals need a tight end in rundown situation that is going to bring a lot of balance to their offense. I think they need a tight end you can line up on the shoulder of an offensive tackle and come off the ball and get movement at the point of attack. More of a blocking tight end that can then help out in terms of checking down over the ball, become more of a security blanket. We saw this offense through the first 5 weeks of the season with Max Williams as that tight end. Now, nobody is going to confuse the talent of Zach Ertz with Max Williams. And I love Max, and I don't mean to attack him in any way, shape, or form. But Max Williams brought a lot more balance to the Arizona Cardinals offensively than Zach Ertz did. And because of that, I think they need to get back to that. So I don't see them paying Zach Ertz $11 million to be the second tight end in this offense.
No, I would agree with that. Depending where you look, there's a lot of people that do believe they're going to make him a priority this offseason, so maybe it wouldn't be for $11 million. Now, you mentioned Max Williams, and this is where I think some of these numbers are a little bit high. Max Williams is one of them. They have him projected at $6.3 million. He was right around $2.5 million last year,
yeah,
and he's coming
off
an injury.
He's coming off a serious injury, a season-ending injury, of course.
Yeah.
And anytime you're talking about that, I don't know where they got that number. I really don't.
Maybe Max Williams works for Pro Football Focus.
That is shocking.
But sticking with the tight ends for a second, how much do you think what happens with Christian Kirk or A.J. Green impacts what they do with Zach Ertz? Or does it not?
Honestly, once again, I don't think that it does. I think there's going to be a team out there that wants Zach Ertz and is willing to pay him that kind of money. I just don't think, when you look at all the other positions the Arizona Cardinals have got to address, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. Especially in retrospect, when you look back and see, there's no doubt Zach Ertz definitely contributed to the offense and made plays for the Arizona Cardinals. There's no doubt about that. But again, overall, schematically, what did he do for the Arizona Cardinals? And I think, again, you can get a guy who's much cheaper than $11 million, $12 million a year at tight end, who actually will bring more balance to this offense and rundown situation, which is, for the most part, that's the defining down and distance of your offense. First and 10, second and 1-6. Every team in the league, for the most part, is going to go 11 personnel, or they're going to go 10 personnel when it's 3rd and 8, and you're going to throw the ball, and you're probably going to do it out of the shotgun. That is just a given at this point in time. But when you're in rundown situation, it changes everything. And I think they need a tight end who's more balanced.
This is the name that I thought was underpriced, or at least if this was really what he commanded, the Cardinals better re-sign him, is James Conner at $6.4 million. Because we were talking about this the other day, and you said you'd do $8 million for James Conner.
Yeah.
And we were looking at, you know, what running backs are getting 8 figures. And we weren't going to do, and nobody's paying, I hope, nobody's paying James Conner $10 million. Because I want him to stay on the Cardinals. But if you could get him for $6.4 million.
Sold.
Done.
Sold. Right now. Sold to the man in the black shirt talking behind the microphone.
Before he even gets done saying his price, like, yeah, my client would be willing to accept 6.4 sold. billion dollars.
James Conner is the offense for the Arizona Cardinals in terms of rundown situation and what it's going to look like and how physical it's going to be and the fact that you can run it or throw it. And you could throw it to James Conner as well. It's not just handing the ball off to James Conner. As we all saw firsthand, you can throw this guy the ball and he'll stab it right out of the air and run and make people miss and truck people and do it with glee on his face. That's exactly the kind of player you need. Somebody like James Conner who's going to bring that intensity, bring the leadership. He's all of that in a bag of chips.
The other players on this list, Chandler Jones, they have projected at $16.8 million.
Man,
which is
$17
like,
million. Say $17 million right now.
That's all that and a bag of chips.
I love Chandler Jones. I really do.
That's a lot.
He's going to be 32 in February. We were talking to Lorenzo Alexander, and he admits his relationship with Chandler Jones is kind of like mine as well. I absolutely love the guy. Zoe actually has hung out with him, knows him really, really well. It's hard, man. Maybe a 2-year contract. Would you want a 2-year contract? Would you pay him $17 million for 2 years, meaning $34 million? I think when you start to get up to the 4 and 5, I don't see that happening.
This is the problem with putting together a really good team with really talented players that have performed really well, but then not actually winning in the playoffs.
Correct.
Because Chandler Jones has played well enough where he's probably going to get paid this.
Great point.
You don't have anything to show for it.
Great point.
So, I mean,
one of the reasons why the grass is always greener on the other side. And if you don't have Chandler Jones, you covet Chandler Jones.
Well, that's the thing. I understand that $17 million a year for Chandler Jones, maybe the Cardinals can't afford that because they've got other needs too. Maybe you could fill 3 other holes. But then what are you going to do when you don't have Chandler Jones next year?
Mm-hmm.
Your defense is going to look so different in ways that go beyond, well, he only had 5.5 sacks the rest of the season after week 1. Like, that's true. I'm not saying he's Chandler Jones from 3 years ago.
What about all the pressures?
Yeah.
What about the flags he drew?
Who's getting those now?
Yes, exactly.
So that's going to be the toughest one. Coming up, how aggressive will the Suns be at the NBA trade deadline? It's 2 weeks away, and James Jones gave us some insight on that. You're going to hear the answer next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Final segment of the show, Wolf. I wish the show could go all day today.
Doom.
Today specifically.
It's really flown by, hasn't
it?
I
would be willing to stay here and do the next 4 hours if you want to.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I don't want to go to the dentist.
Is that so we can get into USFL talk?
Yes.
Seriously?
4 hours of USFL talk. I hate the dentist.
What is it that you hate about the dentist, my brother?
All of it. I'm convinced now when, like, at a certain point, if you have a pretty good record with them, like, oh, you don't have any cavities. Like, don't you ever notice when you go to the dentist, they're disappointed when you don't have a cavity?
Mm.
They're like, oh, you don't have any cavities.
Yeah.
Now I'm convinced, like, if you have, like, 3 good, clean bills when you come in the next time, before you even sit down, they're like, yeah, you have 3 cavities.
No, okay.
Don't even look.
So you're saying they're fixing it.
You can't double check. What are you going
to
do?
Can I tell you, when you get to be my age, you know what? Honestly, you go to the dentist right now, they're going to find something.
Oh.
All right? And they're not making it up. They're going to find something. Oh, my goodness. Look at you.
It's supposed to make me feel better.
Yes, your teeth are falling out of your gum line.
All right. Well, now I'm really excited to go to the dentist. Thanks for that. Also,
by the way, is it the drill? Is that the drill that gets you out there based
the
on the
sound?
I hate it.
No,
I think it's more the giant needle being shoved into your gums.
Are you kidding me? The needle is, give it to me, Doc. I'm like this. I can't wait for him to break the needle out. I cannot wait. Hey, you know what? Shoot it up, Doc. Shoot it up.
Mr.
Stick
Wolfley,
it right into my gum line,
you're just here
please.
For a cleaning.
you know what, Doc? Shoot it up anyways. I'm serious. The needle doesn't bother me in the least. Isn't that weird? All the years, of course. I guess that's what happens to you when you get a needle shoved up underneath your big toe.
Ah.
That, I'm telling you right now,
what kind of dentist do you go to?
Under the toenail, that was the worst shot I ever got in 10 years in the National Football League. Was when I had turf toe, and they had to stick the needle right underneath my toenail. Oh, right in the end of the toe. Can you feel that, my brothers? You know what they did? They actually got Derek Kennard. This is one of the reasons why I love DK. We used to call him Sea Hag. They got Derek Kennard. Derek weighed 340 pounds. He was a scat bag, I'm telling you. He would run on his toes. It was hysterical to see. This man had the biggest can and the biggest hamstrings I have ever seen. Derek Kennard. And DK, you know I love you. This is one of my favorite teammates of all time because he'd come off the ball and just railroad people. All right. Just railroad people. Derek Kennard. They got Derek Kennard and said, DK, come over here, please, because we're going to have you lay across Wolf's legs as he's on this table in the training room, because we're going to give him a shot and it's really going to hurt a lot, and we need you to demobilize his legs.
Because they thought you were going to run away?
I was like, Doc, just what are you doing? Just stick it in there. No, Wolf, you're going to want Derek Kennard laying across your legs. And that's what they did. They laid DK, 340 pounds, across my legs, and the Doc shoved it in. And the first 2.5 seconds was like, death! Death! And then after that, there was nothing. But
so it
the
worked.
Whole time through it all, this was Derek Kennard. That's why we called him Sea Hag, by the way.
Huh.
340 pounds, and he laughed like a sea hag.
Well, I'm going to be nervous.
I'm never going to the dentist again.
Yeah, seriously. If I walk in and they're like, oh, we have Derek Kennard here because you have a cavity. Like, I'm,
if you
I'm just
see
leaving.
DK right now, run.
Just getting out
run.
Of there. All right. Also, did want to pass along that Jeff Fisher is the head coach of the Michigan Panthers and your USFL.
Fish is back in it, baby.
Yeah, he can't go 7-9 because we looked
it
up. It's
or 9-7.
Okay.
Or 10-6 for that matter. This team's too talented. I'm not going to settle for that. Okay? I know what I'm doing.
So there you go.
Fish, you know what? Listen, I'm a Fish fan. I was a Fish fan, and I've bruised his sternum many times. I can tell you played against him.
Yeah.
It was only 1 year, but still.
Sounds like a pretty physical game.
It was physical, and he was physical. I respect Fish.
I miss him as the head coach of the Rams. I'll just say that. That was a lot easier on all of us. Okay, let's go to the Suns here. James Jones with the trade deadline coming up 2 weeks from today. James Jones was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday and had this to say about how aggressive the Suns will be.
I mean, I always love that question. People always like, how aggressive will you be at the trade deadline? And how aggressive will you? And I'm always the same. I like my team. I like what we have. If opportunities come to improve my team, I'll look at them. But every team's trying to do the same thing at the trade deadline. So unless you're catching someone who absolutely does not want to compete, you're really talking about lateral moves. And, you know, I trust our continuity and our flow.
I've said
lateral
this before.
Moves.
I love that he puts an emphasis on continuity.
Yeah, no, continuity and the fact that, hey, listen, every guy brings something to this team. It's one of the reasons why he went out and got the individual and brought him into the paradigm known as the Phoenix Suns. It's one of the reasons why he targeted a Landry Shamet. We can look at Landry Shamet and we can say, man, this guy really has not had the kind of year I think that James Jones and the Suns thought he was going to have. And I think you'd be right on that. I think we all would. I think Landry Shamet would probably tell you that as well. But he went out and he brought Shamet in for a reason. He targeted him. And James Jones knows the reason. Now, he knows he's not getting the kind of production out of him that he envisioned. But all the pieces need to fit with James Jones. And that's what I love. He sees it as a mix. The mix on this team, he said in one of the cuts you played earlier. The mix. It all works together somehow, some way. Production, you'd like to see it upped with a guy like Landry Shamet. Yet at the same time, maybe he brings something else as well. The chemistry and the culture on this team is second to none in the association.
Well, and they have already made a move bringing in Bismack Biyombo. By the way, did you see they did coverage of this on Bally Sports?
Did they settle it?
They just asked him flat out how to say it, but he has an accent, obviously. So I still don't really know what the answer is. This is what I know it isn't, Wolf. It's not Bismack. Like, it's not like we're from Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and it's not Bismack. It's not
Bismack.
That. I think you got to say it with his accent, which was more like Bismack.
Bismack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would mess it up right there.
He just seemed to be cool with it either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So. Bismack, though, you could say Mack truck.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
You could do that. It feels a little.
Mock.
Yeah.
It's better than Mock.
Oh, okay.
Hey, well, Bismack.
So
Bismack.
He went
truck.
Ahead and informed all of us to clear it up. And I don't know if it's.
You know what's amazing about it, though?
Huh.
How they should probably tell people over there that work for the Suns.
Well, but it kind of feels like both are right. It kind of feels like the way he said it was like between the two of them. We're not doing this again.
Okay, we got to leave.
All right.
You're ready to explode my brain.
Well, I got to go to the dentist. I don't want to, especially now after talking to you.
Just tell him to shoot it up.
All right. I don't think I have to. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Jesse Morris and Cody Fincher behind the glass. For Wolf, I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gamble coming up next right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.